985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org. On the line is Nick Richard. He is someone who is well known to KPFK listeners because he has Bike Talk, a long-running show. Welcome to Politics or Pedagogy.
Thanks, John. Good to talk to you.
I want to ask you about what you're doing as a teacher, because I understand that you're working with children who have special needs.
Yes. Well, I'm a paraeducator in a special education program at Northampton High School in Northampton, Massachusetts. It's for kids with, there's autism, there's a range of things.
What is the most significant thing that someone would have to know about children with special needs?
Well, what I'm coming to appreciate is that there's a lot more intelligence there than we might give credit for. There's this underground intelligence that people have despite their developmental delays, whatever they happen to have. And you shouldn't underestimate them because they are sensitive to things that anybody would be sensitive to.
When you say underground intelligence, what is it you're referring to?
Just things which, you know, they may not be able to effectively communicate, and they may not be able to process like we expect each other to and do the things that we do in school, a lot of them, although they may be able to do a lot of it. But everybody knows what respect feels like. And respect is a complex thing, and they need that, and they need other things too.
Well, on that note, Nick, I want to be respectful of your time because I know you have other tasks ahead of you. So will you say a few words about why KPFK is important?
Well, I think KPFK has the best chance of any station on the FM dial or maybe AM too of being a real community radio station. I feel like it is more of a patchwork of different points of view, kind of an ecosystem at KPFK. It's more organic.
Thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy, and we'll continue listening to your wonderful show, Bike Talk.
And thank you for all your work.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye, John.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy education report.
KPFK now in our fund drive. Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Negwa Ibrahim. The Arab Film Festival is returning to San Francisco 1 year after its cancellation in the wake of Israel's war on Gaza. It had never been canceled before, and with its return on October 24th until November 3rd, the 28th edition of the Arab Film Festival will open with the film Life is Beautiful, Letters to Gaza, a documentary that tells the story of how director Mohammed Jebali fought for his rights as a Palestinian and a filmmaker when stranded in Norway due to circumstances beyond his control. Through his personal archive and video calls, he shares his love and longing for his hometown, friends, and family as he tries to make a new life for himself in the Arctic. The Arab Film Festival, the oldest and longest festival of its kind in North America, will feature some 60 films along with some special programming and guests throughout. And with us today to talk about the 28th Arab Film Festival that will take place again in San Francisco and online from Thursday, October 24th through Sunday, November 3rd, which is the flagship event of the Arab Film and Media Institute, is our guest, Serge Bakalian, a nonprofit leader, science advisor, filmmaker, and the founder of the Arab Film and Media Institute, also serving as its executive director. The California-based Arab Film and Media Institute is a unique ecosystem to find, nurture, connect, and develop Arab film and media projects, and home to the Arab Film Festival, the largest and oldest festival of its kind in North America. Serge also works as a science advisor for the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. He caught the artist bug in 2007 and moved to San Francisco to develop and produce film and theater projects, the latter dedicated to exploring Middle Eastern cultures and identities. Born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon, Serge holds degrees in chemistry and international relations. Maya Leben, managing director of the Arab Film and Media Institute, with over 15 years at the intersection of human rights, policy, user safety, and governance, has collaborated with nonprofits, social justice movements, tech companies, government, and philanthropies. Her experiences include roles at the UN, Apple, Meta, and DoorDash, where she shaped policies and drove impactful initiatives and partnerships. Maya is recognized for international projects that have raised funds for social impact nonprofits, and she bridges human rights and policy to drive meaningful change. Welcome to Middle East in Focus, Serge.
Thank you for having us on.
And welcome to Middle East in Focus, Maya.
Thank you, Negwa. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm very, very excited that the Arab Film Festival is back. And Serge, for those who might not know, can you give us just a brief overview of the Arab Film and Media Institute, with the Arab Film Festival being one of its flagship events, and specifically the four pillars that your work is organized around?
Absolutely. First, I want to say this is such an honor. Growing up in Glendale, I was an avid listener to KPFK, so thank you again for having us on and also just giving us the space to talk about the film festival this year. You know, Maya and I definitely stand on the shoulders of giants because the film festival started in 1996 by a group of Arab women in San Jose. And it's sort of remarkable to see that, you know, 28 years later, not just what the festival has turned into, but our reach, which is really critical to our mission overall. So the festival started in San Jose, moved to San Francisco. I sort of had, you know, the honor of sort of coming on board 10 years ago as a volunteer. And soon enough, one of the things I saw critically was that we needed to turn this into a year-round organization. You know, it's wonderful to be together, watch films, and meet film directors for a week or two during the year. But to really fulfill the mission of the organization, we had to screen around the country. We had to go into non-Arab high schools and middle schools and show our content. We also had to support and develop Arab American storytellers. And, you know, so that's where the Arab Film and Media Institute first came to be. The four pillars, we have our exhibition, which is the screenings that we do year round. We have our education program, is where we take Arab films into high schools, middle schools, universities, along with a curriculum. It's definitely a program that we're constantly raising funds for so that we can broaden our reach beyond sort of the Bay Area and Los Angeles and Dearborn. And we have our creators program, which is the one that we're very excited by. And it's something we're building industry partnerships so that we can really develop and support particularly Arab American storytellers, because I do think our stories are unique and need to be shared. And then finally is our industry pillar. And this is where we've built, you know, partnerships with the industry and Hollywood, you know, which some have, it's been a little bumpier since October 2023, but we're building more and more partnerships to be able to facilitate the careers of our storytellers.
And Serge, if I could just stay with you for a moment, you know, one of the things I spoke about in the opening was how, for the first time ever, the Arab Film Festival canceled its annual festival last year in the wake of Israel's war in Gaza and its ongoing genocide. Can you talk about why you all made that decision and then how you came to the decision to do the festival once again this year, and why that's so important considering everything that's going on?
Yeah, that was definitely not an easy decision. It was not taken lightly by our team. It was, you know, we were 2 days away from announcing our opening night film. We had members of the Academy that we're planning to come. You know, over the last 6, 7 years, we've been not only doing US premieres, but we've been screening Oscar qualifying films that are submitted by the different Arab countries. So it was very challenging, and we spoke not just internally, but we also talked to community leaders, particularly in the Palestinian community. And again, it was not taken lightly, but it just did not feel right. It did not feel, you know, the festival has grown into a celebration. You know, we are celebrating our filmmakers, our stories, our culture, and it just the tone of and then just kind of seeing what was happening day by day. I mean, it's really horrific that we're still in that phase, and now Lebanon included. It just did not feel like a time to celebrate. So we made that decision. And, you know, this year we were absolutely not going to cancel. And I think what the last year has shown us that there's an opportunity to really educate and highlight through film, which we still think is an incredible medium to be able to do that.
And one of the things I really appreciate, Serge, and that in terms of some of the things you just mentioned, I'm going to turn to you, Maya, right now, is just really how the Arab Film and Media Institute has really expanded over the years and has really become a national space, a space for national programming. And one of the things that's interesting about the Arab Film Festival is that it is something that people can experience virtually, even if you're not in San Francisco. Maya, can you talk about how the Arab Film Festival has a virtual track, how that is working, and what folks nationally will be able to access through this virtual track if they're not in San Francisco to be able to go in person?
Oh, absolutely. Our programs are being streamed from anywhere in North America. So this year, we're showcasing our largest program online since the virtual festival during the pandemic. We're going to have 36 films, 5 different programs, including our Palestinian Voices, Queer Lens, and the program centered around youth. We also have several films from our 2023 selections, as well as talkbacks with filmmakers and a workshop on running a film impact campaign for your film and how to do that. So we're also giving, students an opportunity to grow as well.
I have so many questions around all the specifics of the different programming experiences that you just mentioned. Before we go there into getting into more detail about some of those specifics, Maya, can you tell us about the opening film for the festival, Life is Beautiful, A Letter to Gaza by Mohammed Jebali? And if you can, also why it is that you all chose this as the opening night film, which is a bit of a deviation from my understanding of what the Arab Film Festival has done in the past, because it's a documentary film, which I think is the first time you all have done that for an opening film.
It is the first time, and we actually went really back and forth with the board and ourselves, and like, should we open with a documentary? Is this something people would be interested in? Given the political situation and how everybody's feeling about what's happening in Gaza, we thought this basically, we kind of need to honor that and kind of listen to people's feelings about this. Like, we can't really open with something very light and very happy. Maybe open with something, a movie like Life is Beautiful, which is, it's such a cute, cute maybe might not be the best word here, but it's nice to see how the film industry helps out people in need. And we feel that this kind of resonates a lot with what we do, right? So the movie's about how a Palestinian refugee's journey in Norway, his tourist visa expires, his nationality is unrecognized by the Norwegian government, and he's classified as stateless. But the beautiful part is you can see how the whole film industry in Norway and in London rallied to help him secure a way for him to stay in Norway and, continue his studies to become a director and to become someone in the movie industry. He also uses his time when he's stranded there to edit footage from when he was an emergency medical responder. And then that's when he decided to create his documentary Ambulance, which was then featured in several festivals and won prizes. And I think that just speaks beautifully and fits really well with what our festival is about, sharing stories, showing some optimism, showing how people of different backgrounds can rally and help each other out, and, you know, shaping our own life as a change.
This is Middle East in Focus, and we are speaking today about the upcoming 28th edition of the Arab Film Festival in San Francisco, the largest and oldest of its kind in North America, beginning October 24th and running until November 3rd, with our guest, Serge Bakalian, founder and executive director of the Arab Film and Media Institute, and Maya Leben, managing director of the Arab Film and Media Institute. Maya, can you also give us a little bit more detail? I know you spoke a little bit about it earlier, but a little bit more detail about some of the special programs that will be featured this year at the Arab Film Festival.
Yeah. We have really interesting programs this year as well. So one of them is going to be archiving Armenian stories. We're highlighting Armenian stories within conversation with the entire Swana region in light of the recent violence against the ethnic cleansing of the Armenian community and the clear parallels to the ongoing genocides in Gaza and Sudan. So we thought that's very important to, you know, talk about this. We're going to show two documentary films, and there's going to be conversations with filmmakers and panels. Another exciting one is Slingshot Hip Hop. It's a retrospective on, along with a discussion with the director, Jayreem Saloom and Sohail Nafar, on how they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, and over 15 years, they have a rich, expansive global legacy. How, you know, the genesis of hip hop was rooted in community building. It's going to be super fun. And we're hoping we're going to see them sing as well. We have a Halloween event happening for, you know, anyone who likes Rocky Horror Picture Show turned Arabic. A movie called Enya Fangs. So it's very fun. It's vampires, 1980s horror, very different. These are the things that I'm thinking about. And I'm pretty sure there is a centerpiece event on Ground Zero, which is, as you know, it was sent for Oscar submission for Best International Movie. And we're going to have a Palestinian culture showcase as well. So stay tuned for details.
Thank you so much for all of that, Maya. And again, everybody check out. You can get the full schedule, the full programming by going to the Arab Film and Media Institute website. And can you all just give us that website? And we'll do another reminder at the end. Maya, could you go ahead and give us the website that people can go check out all the details?
Yep, definitely. It's arabfilm2024.org.
And Serge, I know that you are, you know, all of it is your favorite as the executive director, but is there anything in particular?
you're not going to ask me that question, are you?
Okay, how about this? I'll reframe it. What are some additional highlights that you would like to make sure our listeners know about in terms of this year's program, in addition to what Maya mentioned?
Yeah. No, again, I'm teasing. It's just it's so hard, and especially not to sort of play favorites at the festival. Even though we do have a film called To a Land Unknown, which is, again, I hope some filmmakers are covering their ears, but it is one of my favorites at this year's festival. It is a film worthy of being something that comes out of European cinema or Hollywood. I mean, the quality of filmmaking and the cast are incredible. It's the plight of Palestinian refugees that find themselves in Greece, and they're partly trying to go to Italy, partly trying to go to Germany. But what's remarkable about it, and it's gritty, it's difficult, but it could be anyone. It could be Sudanese, they could be Syrian, they could be, it's just the plight of people who find themselves displaced from their home and what they go through. So that's definitely one of the highlights. And as Maya mentioned, our centerpiece from Ground Zero, that's Palestine's submission to the Oscars. And that's an incredible, incredible piece of filmmaking. It's 22 different filmmakers doing 22 different segments, from experimental to animation to narrative to documentary. So it's definitely an experience. In terms of other highlights, we are partnered with Collective Lens to provide a free workshop for filmmakers on how to run a film impact campaign. And that's going to be available, excuse me, available for free online. And I think Maya could speak on this, but we have the strongest film jury we've ever had as an organization. And to also mention some of our special guests for opening night. So I'd love happy to pitch that over to Maya.
Oh, thank you, Serge. Yeah, we're very excited to. We have an extraordinary lineup of stellar jury members this year. That's going to be headed by Shireen Deviz, acclaimed filmmaker, who's currently, for people who don't know her, she's currently directing Only Murders in the Building. And then we also have visionary screenwriter Sahar Jahani. She worked on several shows such as 13 Reasons Why, and most currently Rami for Rami Youssef. We also have award-winning editor Nicholas Mansour, who edited movies such as Get Out, Us, and most recently Nickel Boys. We also have celebrated writer Hadi Nicholas Deeb, influential creators Karim Ahmed and Teresa Navarro, and last but not least, Miko Saad, who's from the Hollywood Press Association. We're so humbled that they accepted our invitation and they want to be a part of our jury.
So, very, very exciting collective of folks that are making the Arab Film Festival possible. From all of the folks that you just mentioned, all of the filmmakers, all of you all that are really putting in the work to even bring this to life. I know that it's not easy actually to put on a film festival. I think, you know, I don't know, for folks who are not engaged in the process of putting on a film festival, they probably don't know how difficult it is and how difficult it is to even sustain film festivals year after year. Serge, can you talk a little bit about that? How do you all make it happen every year? How do you get your funding? You know, and I have to, you know, put it out there for you all so that the listeners who might want to keep supporting you all for the next, you know, year after year, how can folks actually make sure that you all keep going year after year?
Yeah, definitely this year was by far the most challenging year because we, you know, last, you know, after October 7, it was really a watershed moment for the organization because we, you know, just to be very open and blunt about it, we lost our two big corporate sponsors. We lost a couple of other funding sources that, you know, saw our programming as too political, or, you know, they sort of said it, gosh, I wouldn't say nice way, but it's not nice. But we definitely lost funding, I will say. And I think for us, particularly with both Maya and I, that we work in, we work in spaces outside of the arts where it felt a bit trivial to be fundraising and for the arts when there was such humanitarian need in our part of the world. So this year was a challenge, but we made the determination not to cut our programming down. So we didn't cut down to 2 or 3 days. We went full on to make sure we maintain that we are the largest festival outside of the Arab world for this type of content. And so, you know, luckily we've done well with grants, and we definitely have individuals who have supported us, who've many of them are so incredibly kind and want to stay anonymous, and so that's the way. And for us, it is a passion project. Like I said, all of us sort of have our day work, and you know, we have an incredible team as well. You know, beyond Maya and I, we have an amazing group of passionate people who put on the festival, who program, who do sort of the day to day. So yeah, we're very fortunate.
You know, you said something, Serge, that I think I want to see if both of you can actually reflect on about, you know, how it can, you know, it can feel trivial to raise money for the arts when there is so much humanitarian crisis happening within various parts of the world, including in Lebanon, in Palestine, and in Sudan, and in so many places in the world. But, you know, I think to the point that you're raising, even the intention behind the film festival and the Arab Film and Media Institute is that storytelling and filmmaking are also acts of resistance and acts that are rooted in social justice and fighting for social justice. We'll start with you, Maya. Can you comment on the significance of this year's Arab Film Festival in light of all that is happening domestically and internationally, and how really this is a testament to really using film, art, and storytelling to resist against injustice and dehumanization?
I love this question. I actually joined the Arab Film Festival because as a policymaker, I believe that sharing Arab culture through film can significantly enhance understanding and representation that can help reshape our narrative in the US. So in essence, movies are not just for entertainment, they're cultural artifacts that shape how we see each other. The films can act as bridges between cultures and opening up dialogue, fostering empathy. And we're seeing this right now. Like, people are ready to hear our stories, I think. When we tell authentic Arab stories, we are not just reshaping perceptions, but also potentially the policies built on these perceptions. And whoever I'm approaching for funding, I'm saying, we don't, you know, helping nonprofits and, you know, like immediate aid, it's all patches, right? We kind of need to start from backwards. We need to help. The more we diversify the narratives around Arabs, the more we can influence the broader culture and political landscape to be more inclusive. That's why it's very important to support culture and art, especially Arab culture and art nowadays. And I hope listeners agree with what I'm saying, because we definitely need everybody's help here.
And Serge, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think for me, again, it feels trivial in the moment, especially with sort of the horrific imagery we've been seeing for the past year, I mean, if not longer. But I couldn't agree with Maya more in terms of film, I mean, the arts in general, but film specifically, because it's especially in today's sort of video culture, and, you know, someone can watch a video for a short film, a well-made short film that's 3 minutes long on their phone and be moved, or at least ask questions. I think ultimately I think this is where, again, it's sometimes difficult when we lose funding because funders think we're too political. The funny thing is we definitely believe not to hammer people over their heads with politics. What we do is we let the films and the filmmakers, we let the stories sort of speak for themselves, and then allow for our audiences to be engaged in dialogue after the screenings. And I think that is where change starts to happen. And the most essential part of that is audience members just asking questions. Like, why? Why is this happening? Why is it that in 2024... we're hearing people, and this is one of the most frustrating things for all of us, is hearing how, if it's politicians or journalists or whomever, dehumanize us, particularly when they talk about the lives of innocent people that are lost because they have their combatant targets. It's frankly been disgusting to watch this past year. It's been disgusting to listen to people rationalize human suffering, death, and I think
just because of race, because of
who we are. And so if we can, you know, the impact of us taking a story about hip hop into an Oakland high school, for example, and having someone in that classroom who's not Arab, who's not Muslim, who most likely because of the education system doesn't even know where Egypt is on the map, to be able to connect to a character on the screen just because they both love hip hop, or seeing a young woman on screen who's going through a heartbreak or a coming of age story, regardless of what she's wearing on her head or what faith she belongs to, and be able to have that human connection is essential, because you hope that a generation from now or hopefully sooner, where people aren't justifying the killing of our people in such a way. So,
this is Middle East in Focus, and we have been speaking today about the upcoming 28th edition of the Arab Film Festival in San Francisco, the largest and oldest of its kind in North America, beginning October 24th and running until November 3rd, with our guests, Serge Bakalian, founder and executive director of the Arab Film and Media Institute, and Maya Leben, managing director of the Arab Film and Media Institute. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Najwa. It was an honor.
Thank you so much.
I just want to remind all of our listeners that we are in Fund Drive, so please.